पुरंजनं सत्यं
वशमानीय
He searched for his wife. When he saw her lying on the ground without a bed, as if neglected and devoid of any proper dress, he became very much aggrieved. He then became attracted to her and began to enjoy her company. Living in, he is similarly engaged in the material and sinful activities. These sinful activities may be compared to King Ranjana's hunting in the forest. A sinful life can be counteracted by various processes of religion, such as yajna, bhakti, and dana, that is, performance of sacrifices, taking a vow, some religious ritual, and using a charity. In this way, one may become free from the reactions of sinful life and at the same time awaken a spiritual spiritual consciousness. By coming home, taking his bath, eating nice food stuffs, getting refreshed, and searching out his wife, King Ranjana came to his good consciousness in his family life. In other words, a systematic family life as enjoined in the Vedas is better than irresponsible sinful life. If a husband and wife combine together in Krishna consciousness and live together peacefully, that is very nice. However, if a husband becomes too much attracted by his wife and forgets his duty in life, the implications of materialistic life will again presume. Srila Rupa Goswami is therefore recommending, without being attached by sex, the husband and wife may live together for advancement of spiritual life. Husband should engage in devotional service, and the wife should be faithful and religious. According to the Vedic injunction, such a combination is very good. However, if the husband becomes too much attracted to the wife due to sex, this becomes very dangerous. Women in general are very much sexually inclined. Indeed, it is said that a woman's sex desire is 9 times stronger than a man's. It is therefore a man's duty to keep a woman under his control by satisfying her, giving her ornaments, nice food and clothes, and engaging her in religious activities. Of course, a woman should have a few children in this way and not be disturbing to a man. Unfortunately, if the man becomes attracted to a woman simply for sex enjoyment, the family life becomes abominable. The great poet, politician, Chanakya Pandita said, Parya Rupavati Satru, a beautiful wife is an enemy. Of course, every woman in the eyes of her husband is very beautiful. Others may see her as not very beautiful, but the husband be married very much attractive to her, sees her always as very beautiful. If the husband sees the wife as very beautiful, it is to be assumed that he is too much attracted to her. This attraction is the attraction of sex. The whole world is captivated by two modes of material nature, Rajagun and Tamagun, passion, ignorance. And generally, women are very much passionate and less intelligent. Therefore, some or other man should not be under the control of their passion and ignorance. By performing bhakti yoga or devotional service, a man can be raised to the platform of goodness. The husband situated in the mode of goodness can control his wife, who is in passion ignorance. The wife has benefit. Forgetting her natural inclination for passion ignorance, the woman becomes obedient and faithful to her husband, who is situated in goodness. Such a life becomes very welcome. The intelligence of the man and woman may then work very nicely together, and they can and make a progressive march towards spiritual realization. Otherwise, the husband coming under the control of the wife sacrifices his quality of goodness and becomes subservient to the quality of passion and ignorance. In this way, the whole situation becomes polluted. The conclusion is that a household life is better than a sinful life devoid of responsibility. In household life, the husband becomes subordinate to the wife, involved in a materialistic life, and again becomes prominent. In this way, a man's material bondage becomes enhanced. Because of this, according to the Vedic system, after a certain age, a man is recommended to abandon his family life for the sake of vanaprastha and sannyas. Translation: the great sage Narada continued, my dear king, after removing her husband in different ways and bringing him under control of the wife, the influence and gave full satisfaction and enjoyment of his life with him. So, as Prabhupada explained in the purport, it is better to regulate enjoyment than have no regulations, which is exactly what Pranishna did by going out hunting on his own. So therefore he came home and he enjoyed. And in one sense that was considered better. So it is better to have karma yoga than no yoga. And at least under control it is, one avoids gross sinful activities. Nevertheless, even that is not complete because it is in the gunas. So as Prabhupada explained, meaning tamaguna and rajaguna, so it's better to control by sattvaguna. But sattvaguna also is a guna, so it is not the ultimate goal. So it's definitely preferable to have sattvaguna over rajaguna and tamaguna. But again, Krishna condemns that to rise above the gunas, who are gunas. So it is not ultimate. Yeah? So therefore, this is somewhat of a compromise in the material world where we have karma yoga, etc. On the other hand, we have a principle enunciated in the Nectar Devotion by Rupa Goswami, where he says to practice yukta vairagya. So that is a little different from karma yoga. In karma yoga, the desire is actually to enjoy it. But one gets that enjoyment by following certain rules and regulations and avoiding sin as much as possible. Yukta Vairagya has an appearance that looks very similar because one utilizes things in the material world rather than renouncing them. So it's not like Jnana Yoga or Astanga Yoga in which we renounce things, so therefore it looks something like Karma Yoga, and we associate with material things. But the difference is that these things are related to the Supreme Lord in Yukta Vairagya, whereas in Karma Yoga, the relationship with the Supreme Lord is indirect. It is still in the gunas. So if we can relate things with the Supreme Lord, then this takes us beyond the gunas. But to relate things to the Supreme Lord properly, then we have to give up enjoyment. So this is what Yukta Vairagya is. The goal is not to enjoy in the material world, whereas the goal in Karma Yoga and Varnashram is to enjoy in the material world. So if one engages things for the service of Krishna, that means we're not using it for ourselves. In the Varnashram system, one uses items, and one may also make an offering to the Lord or whatever, the devatas and whatnot, but the ultimate desire is to enjoy in the material world. So we do these things so that we can live nicely in the material world. In Yukta Vairagya, that is not the goal. The goal is to please Krishna. So therefore, the appearance may be the same, but actually there's a fundamental difference there. So we should not confuse Yukta Vairagya and Bhakti Yoga with Karma Yoga, simply because they both involve activities, whereas Jnana and Yoga renounce activities. So, the system of Varnashram is therefore the general population who are not so advanced and are not spiritually inclined. So at least let them not injure themselves and cause problems to themselves by unrestricted sinful activities. So that system curtails to some degree with the promise that they can enjoy nicely in the material world. So therefore, we have allowances for enjoyment plus restrictions. The vidhi and nishet in enjoying. Interestingly enough, in that system, one ashram is for enjoyment and the other ones are not for enjoyment. So brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas are to renounce enjoyment, and grihastha is to enjoy. So we would think, therefore, that the system would generally tend towards non-enjoyment. But the majority of the people are grihasthas in that system. And maybe less than 10% are going to be brahmacharis, sannyasis, and vanaprasthas. So therefore, the predominance is enjoyment because of the majority of people being grihasthas in that system. So the grihastha ashram is the ashram of enjoyment. One is allowed to possess things, one is allowed to enjoy, one is allowed to associate with, and one is allowed to have attachments. But there are restrictions to some degree. So why the other ashrams are there at all is to make it, or to have precautions so that the rules are followed in grihastha life properly. So therefore, a person should be chained and trained up as a brahmachari to have proper control and follow the rules in grihastha life, at least for the three upper castes. And the goal is finally to give up that family life. And therefore, there is vanaprastha sannyas afterwards. So therefore, the grihastha has the idea that eventually we'll have to give up that position and renounce. So therefore, it'll be less attached in family life. That is the idea. Of course, that doesn't work too well in Kali Yuga because nobody gets the brahmachari chain and no one is willing to take vanaprastha or sannyas after the grihastha ashram, so because they're too attached. So it doesn't work so well. But that was the original idea. And furthermore, the varnas were there to cater to different people according to qualification. If they're qualified for lower gunas, they follow different rules from those in higher gunas. So therefore, the sudras have less rules to follow than the brahmins. Less strict application. Okay? Nevertheless, there's general rules for everyone in the system, and restrictions on everyone to some degree. So in this way, everyone gets a chance to advance. So that's the general idea of the system. But as I said, it's limited up to sattva guna and works within the gunas. Whereas the process of bhakti is beyond the gunas, but people in the gunas can do it. So it is beyond the gunas, but anyone in any guna can start the process of bhakti. So the reason is that we can utilize material things, but we can relate them to service of the Supreme Lord. So that is exactly what this yukta vairagya is. So the other vairagya is to simply give up attachment to everything in the material world. So that becomes jnana or yoga, where we renounce material things, or sannyas, to some extent vanaprastha. So, which part of our ashram system? So, in yukta vairagya, we don't renounce things, but we renounce the enjoyment for ourselves and we use the things for Krishna. So there is renunciation there because we don't get the enjoyment, but we don't renounce the objects. So in Jnana and Yoga, one renounces objects because otherwise they become a source of enjoyment for ourselves. In Bhakti, we don't renounce the objects, but we renounce the enjoyment. So the only way that is possible is we use them for somebody else, not for ourselves. So we use them for Krishna. And if we don't use them for Krishna, then we'll use them for ourselves and we'll get caught. So that is why the jnanis and yogis renounce objects. Because particularly the jnanis, they don't believe in a real existence of the Lord, so using objects for him would be illusory, so they don't do that. So in devotional service, we use things for the Supreme Lord, real objects in the material world. And this does not create material activities and karma, because there is no sense of enjoyment on the part of the devotee, and it's offered to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, it does not produce karma, but rather it destroys karma. So not only it doesn't breed attachment, which is bondage, it also destroys previous bondage and all the karma in the material world. So that is the advantage of the renunciation and bhakti, which is called Yukta Vairagya. It does two things simultaneously. It destroys all the karmas, and it does not create any new karmas, and one is also detached at the same time. So that means that ultimately one becomes liberated from the material world. So this is one result of bhakti. But it's a secondary result. It's not the goal of bhakti. It's a secondary result. So karma is destroyed and detachment arises, etc. So this is exactly what jnana and yoga and vairagya strive for. So in first canto, it is said that naturally jnana and vairagya appear within bhakti. Not that they're the goal, but naturally the results are there for the devotee. And even the results of karma are there for the devotee. All material objects are also available, though the devotee does not want them for himself. So all these are called secondary results, which are expressed by the qualities of bhakti, kleshakti, and subhada. One can get all auspiciousness, and then one can get all destruction of all suffering in the form of ignorance, desires, and karmas, etc. So all this takes place. But these are secondary things. So the primary result is the other characteristics of bhakti, that is the sandarana, the condensed bliss, that it attracts even Krishna, and it derives liberation. These things are primary characteristics of bhakti. Of course, the devotee also is not striving for these things as his goal. So these are the primary characteristics. So the primary goal of the devotee is to serve the Lord, and these ultimately become the qualities which of bhakti, which remain even in the spiritual world. So in the spiritual world there is no karma and all of that, so that the qualities are not necessary. But the qualities of attracting Krishna and being filled with bliss are there in the spiritual world, and no desire for liberation are there, even in the spiritual world. So those are the primary qualities of bhakti. But nevertheless, the devotee is not even taking those as the goal. His only goal is to serve the Supreme Lord. So in Yukta Vairagya, he utilizes objects in this world. He utilizes his senses and his mind and his body to serve the Lord. And by this process, he attains the result of eternal service to the Lord, and simultaneously breaks all karma, becomes attached to the material world, develops all the good qualities, etc., as secondary things. And then he gets spiritual bliss. So the rules of Varna and Ashrama are there on a lower level. And above that, then we have the rules of Jnana and Yoga for detachment. And above that, we have the rules of Bhakti, which are eternal. So here we have Paranjana still caught up in the material world, but following the rules and regulations of Dharma is better than going out hunting in his sinful activity, so it is a preferable situation. But it's not the best situation. It is a temporary situation. And we find later on that he takes rebirth again in the material world, etc., under illusion, so he's not actually realized at any point in this section also. And this whole chapter is actually about his death. Ultimately he dies and gets dragged out of his body because he's too attached. So in other words, following these rules and regulations does not really provide a solution to the problem. He still gets dragged out of his body and has to suffer. It would depend how great is that tendency to think of your own likes and dislikes, that's all. There is a rule in bhakti also to offer things that you like to the Lord. That's one of the angas of bhakti, rather than things you dislike, obviously, because then you wouldn't offer a devotion, because things you like are the things you would think Krishna likes, so therefore the devotion would offer those things also. So in that sense, it's a good thing, but if it becomes too strong that we're only thinking of what I like and therefore we offer that to the Lord, and then it becomes very prominent, of course, then there's an idea of one's own enjoyment. So one has to be careful of that.
So the same
thing
must be applied.
There
are
certain
services
that
one is more
inclined
to
do.
In the initial stages, one is more
inclined to do certain services. Yeah. We can have that preference, nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, we should really do everything also for Krishna, any service. But not simply because it's easier or whatever. We do that one, but we don't want to do the difficult services or the ones that cause us a little problem. So we see that, for instance, many of the devotees in the Bhagavatam, they do the devotional service. And it's not easy. It is quite difficult sometimes. Like Prahlad, to do his bhakti was difficult because in that situation, his father was always persecuting him, or Dhruva. They had difficulties in doing their devotional service, but they did it anyway. They could have said, well, we won't do this, we'll do something else. But they didn't. They continued anyway.
Sometimes there will be dangerous if they will appear. Because the objects may be very opulent. You only may just, there's a tendency of
prasi. Well, that is why the weeds are there as a warning also. That one should not become attracted to the objects one is using in service. On the other hand, if we don't have any objects, we can't do any service. So one has to choose. Okay, we have the objects, let us use them in devotional service. Now, kind of a medium point is where we don't have the objects, but we think of the objects. So this is the, in Raghunuga Bhakti, they simply meditate on serving the Lord, and they do all their service and meditation rather than other actual objects, so that prevents the desire of getting attached to material things to some degree. So that's also there. But yes, the warning is there that one should not become attached to the objects used in devotional service. That becomes a weed. Or a tarangarangani in the Madhurya Kanamani, in which one becomes attracted to these objects. And it creates an obstacle and an artha in devotional service. So one has to be careful how one uses those things.
Sometimes there is
a
particular service
that
you may desire certain objects, but that service is
very effective. That's okay if it's for Krishna service, not for one's own. abuse or whatever.
Another
important thing
about Krishna is one place he says that bodily repression accomplished, and other places he is saying that if one engages in sinful activity of self-gratification, one can never restrain himself. It's like adding heat to fire.
Yeah, so the idea is that we don't stop activity, but we do activity with some regulation. Not that it's any activity. Activity is allowed rather than no activity, but it is regulated. So that is what karma yoga is. Do the activities, but we regulate them. And then with jnana and yoga, the activities are minimized. So not many people are qualified for that. So it's not recommended for everybody.
When it comes automatically?
Then they have to be detached from it, as in the case of Dhruva or something, when he gets his enjoyment. If he gets attached to it, then he becomes an anartha. So he doesn't really want it. He's very detached from the kingdom or whatever he has.
அடுத்த ஒரு நாள் அன்னைக்கு மாறையாச்சு இதுதான் எனக்கு வேணும்.